This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with Dr. Pandora Carlucci and Joni McGee, both board members of the Franklin Education Foundation, or FEF. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about how the FEF have supported Franklin Education with supplemental grants to teachers for educational enhancements. These grants have totaled more than $400,000 since 1997. Pandora was one of the founders of the FEF. The recording runs 26 minutes or so. So let's listen to my conversation with Pandora and Joni. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR.FM, anywhere on the internet, and in the Franklin area dial at 102.9 here this afternoon to talk the Franklin Education Foundation and some of their fundraising activities. We've got a couple of ladies with us, Pandora Carlucci and Joni McGee. Welcome, ladies. Glad to have you for this conversation.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Steve.
Thank you for having us, Steve.
Indeed. So while I know you and I, the three of us, have been in multiple ways connected in on different activities, et cetera, some of the listeners may not necessarily know, well, who's Steve talking to? Why don't you just give a short background? What's the short story for Joni?
Oh, okay. So the short story for me is I'm a Franklin resident of the past 24 years. Have served on a variety of different boards, currently on the Franklin Education Foundation. Professionally, I'm an educator and have a daughter that graduated from Franklin Public Schools. Thankful to be part of this community.
Indeed. And Pandora, that may be a little bit less likely because you've been on so many different things that are, you know, particularly lifelong learning, but for those who don't know Pandora, what's your short story?
Let's see. My short story is, I've been in Franklin for a number of years. I married a Franklin native, and I do serve on a number of boards and committees. I enjoy it. I like to be part of a community, and I became involved with education in a lot of different ways through my career and also through the formation of the Franklin Education Foundation with two other people, Vicki Coates and Peggy Yaniskiewicz. And we were doing this in the late 1996, early 1997, with leadership from the superintendent at that time, Dr. Richard Warren. He, such a strong supporter of education, but also when he looked at supplementary funding for education, he liked the concept of a foundation because it raised money townwide. So it wasn't school specific. He liked the idea that it was open to everyone in town. That was helpful for businesses because they could make one donation, it would be available. And then it's helpful for people that want to remember schools in, you know, as they look back, you can donate to an education foundation, and it's of benefit to all schools.
Sure. Create that kind of legacy statement through your trusts or however you make your financial arrangements. Yeah, that's a key piece that some people don't necessarily think of, but you've enabled it that way. Although most people, I think, recognize the multiple events you've run that are generally fun and community-based, two key themes, of course, via the trivia, be the Wizards basketball, and then the pandemic, just kind of put those aside.
They did. We didn't have our traditional fundraiser this year, last year, or this year that would involve people coming together for a specific activity. But we've kept going forward with our grants. Just before the pandemic hit in January of 2020, the foundation awarded several grants to teachers and educators across the district. And they just had a couple of months to get started before the schools closed. And then this year, they've been kind of working on them little by little as they could get into classrooms or just adjust the grant a little bit to do it online, remotely, mm-hmm. whatever way was possible. And we've worked with them the whole time. We've extended deadlines, made adjustments. We have a strong group that has been working on that.
Yeah, because I think clearly to reinforce the grant may have been written for an activity that would have been prevented by the pandemic. So now they've got to spin and do they lose it? So you've been flexible in those cases.
I think flexibility in terms of the awarding of the grants is a key factor, because whatever you do in education, you need to be flexible. But it was, you know, this past year with the pandemic was flexible in a way that we never could have imagined. But I think it dovetails as well into the innovative nature of the grants. And mm-hmm. that's the components that I've really enjoyed about the Franklin Education Foundation, is that it allows educators to really think outside of the box. And the grants typically fund different innovative practices and tools and techniques and program that their traditional budget does not always support. So that was able to be done, during the pandemic.
Yeah, and I think from my many years of reporting from the school committee, the policy as such is that a grant or any other monies coming in is meant really to supplement the town funded budget. And you focus within that, both supplemental, but then whether enrichment, enhancement, you know, doing something different, even if it's a pilot, you know, just try it, see what happens.
Yeah. I think a great example of one of those projects is the Empty Bowls project, where a lot of Franklin community members are aware of. That has now expanded to partnership with the Franklin Food Pantry. Correct. So these are ways that you wouldn't necessarily have something within the budget, the school budget to do that. And I know I was just listening to you, Pandora, talk about some of the projects. And I was thinking, I came in around 97, 98, and FEF had sponsored the Box Top Cities. And I remember at the Kennedy Elementary School in the gymnasium room, all the students were able to create a building in Franklin through boxes and box tops. And my daughter had the zoetrope, which is no longer here, but she has fond memories. So we were cleaning, we found the zoetrope box the other day. That has lived, even though the original.
Did you take pictures of it? So at least you've got the record in the archive for.
I probably should. So, but these are the types of projects. My daughter is almost 30 now, and she remembers fondly, right? And these are the moments that are really critical for education. And I'm so thankful that FEF is there to support these initiatives. But this time, we're also looking for support with funding from the community. We had a day of giving earlier this week, and we just want folks to know it's more than just a day. We're still, looking for donations, and be much appreciated.
And picking on the empty bowls, I know my daughters had both participated when they were going through the high school and doing the ceramics. That was a fun thing to do. And I know last year I talked with Brenna Johnson, and she's still involved and she's preparing. I've been seeing her posts as they're going through the final processes for, the virtual event to be held sometime later this school year. So we'll help spread the word on that, because that's one of the key pieces that clearly touches in the education world, the arts, community, and, oh, by the way, has a benefit for the food pantry. So nothing wrong with that. It's all connected.
I think what's nice about that is we fundraise for grants that benefit the entire district. Mm-hmm. But the actual activities themselves often benefit the entire town. Right. They go out beyond the boundaries of the school property, and they work their way into businesses like the Zoetrope that I think many of us have fond remembers. That was a movie theater for anyone who is not familiar with the Zoetrope. It was a movie theater downtown. And Empty Bowls, the food pantry. This last year, one of the grants had to do with bringing in an author for middle school students, and it brought together all three middle schools, and there was an option to for parents and guardians to then join in a conversation with the author in the evening. So mm-hmm. it was multi-generational,
right.
And it was across town. It's very inclusive. It often brings those unexpected pathways that we as a community can come together, support one another, share, and learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, enriching multiple along the way in some ways that are planned, some ways that are unexpected.
I think last year or the year before, we had a grant for the string program, middle school and high school. It was called mm-hmm. Moxie Strings.
Yes.
And the two musicians that I would call them scholar practitioners because they teach and they perform. Mm-hmm. But they came in and again, it went beyond the classroom and out into the community, and it shared on multiple levels. So I think that's something that the Franklin Education Foundation grants have been able to do and do it well. Mm-hmm. That sense of community permeates through most of its grants.
And have been doing well for almost a quarter of a century. We were saying this is going into the 24th year. So have to have a big celebration for next year for the 25th.
Yes.
Definitely.
A significant milestone. And I know you've been accumulating and keeping track the dollars of grant donations year after year is just continuing to add up. And yeah, I'm sure the additional stories, we probably should do a separate thing on, you know, like catching people who remember when and what other stories can they share of, whether it was the Trivia Bees or, you know, the early Wizards games, who hit the trick shot, or, you know, any of those things would be good to continue to, you know, reflect upon and then use as inspiration for, oh, let's do that again.
I remember the first night with the spelling bee. We had no idea who would come. And when you do one of these spelling bees, there's a formula that you follow. There are special books, and there are special words, and there are definitions and sentences, and there is a protocol for doing it. And mm-hmm. we had gone to other towns who had used the spelling bee as a fundraiser, and they allowed us to observe their bee, and they were very helpful and shared with us what worked well for them. And, mm-hmm. and they were even so kind as to say things that they wish would have worked better. And I'm sure over the years, you know, we all do that as we debrief sure. after an event. But we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know who would walk into the auditorium. And at that time, the only auditorium we had in town was the Horace Mann Auditorium.
Right.
And it filled up. I was stunned when we had around 800 people in that auditorium.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And all in support of education. It was a truly wonderful feeling to see that many people come out and support our schools, our mm-hmm. students, our teachers, staff, and administrators.
And I recall having been to multiple of the Trivia Bees, where not just the audience, well, clearly the teams had kind of a theme and a costume or some sort of decorations, but sometimes their supporters were dressed in that way as well. So you'd not just walk into, you know, the full auditorium, but now there's, well, this is that cheering section, this is that cheering section. It was just a fun event.
You just brought me back to a visual memory, Steve, of sitting in the audience, because it was very competitive to be a team member anyhow. And I have to say I was a team member as well as the audience many occasions. But I remember, again, Kennedy School, that's where my daughter went to elementary school, had made vests out of the material from the drapery, the curtains. And that was just, it was just fascinating. So they had all these like kind of cheesy, fun vests that matched the school drapery curtains. Sure.
I forgot about that. I do remember it coming out in the draperies. I mean, it was a great moment of community, because a lot of people across the district recognize the fabric as well.
Right.
And again, it was that extra thread of socialization across town, and everybody came together, and the common thread was education.
Correct. Yeah. So while it was competitive, you know, heaven forbid you, you know, give the wrong answer to something. Oh, I should have known that. But it was all for good cause, you know.
Yeah, it was.
And that's kind of what we hope today. We still try to provide, you know, through the grants, whether it's for Empty Bowls or it's a technology grant or it's a literature grant, just a variety of opportunities, but all to have that thread, that sense of bringing us together.
Mm-hmm.
And the educator in me is projecting to the next coming academic year and thinking about many of the students were hybrid learning, if that, what type of grants will be developed, will be requested to kind of bridge those gaps, right? Or to enrich and enhance what will be happening in the school. So it's going to be very interesting times. And hopefully we'll be able to provide a variety of grants and funding for those educators, K through 12 classrooms.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Pre-K through 12 classrooms, actually.
Yes. Yes.
That's a good point, Joni, because we keep talking about what are we going to bring with us as we leave, hopefully leave, the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And because we've pivoted, we've had workarounds, we've created new ways of doing things, and some will work well with the pandemic and you can leave them behind, but others, I think you're right, we will bring with us, and what will our grants look like? And I think that's why donating to the Education Foundation is so important, because I think that the demand for and the interest in some supplementary funding, and as Steve pointed out earlier, it is supplementary. We always used to say never supplant, but supplement, because the district does such a great job in laying that platform that's innovative, that's creative, and that's inclusive. And how can we support that through our grants?
We'll put a plug in right now before we forget, not that we would, because we're going to do that at the reminder anyway, so we'll have it a couple of times, but franklined.org is the website for Franklin Education Foundation. You could also find it on Franklin Matters in the right column. Click on the link and there's a donate button on the page. So they try to make it easy for you. So it doesn't have to be one day or one event. You can donate.
And we're very appreciative of the donations.
It has many miles to the dollars to go.
Yes.
That's true. I think over the years, when you people join the FEF board, we generally have 10, 11, 12 people on the board at a time. But we also have people that are kind of just anybody who wants to be a friend of the Education Foundation. They help us when we do these larger events.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way 12 people can do everything that happens at the Wizards game or everything that happened at one of the bees.
Many hands make light work. Absolutely. So you've got official or unofficial ambassadors, for lack of a better word, for FEF.
And what's interesting too with the current board is that we have a student representatives this time from the high school. So that's
good.
It's been very purposeful.
It's nice to have a variety of voices. We also have a liaison from the school committee who serves on the board, and the superintendent is ex officio to the school, to the Education Foundation board. And that's really important. We've always worked hand in hand with the administration since the beginning days and the founding knowledge of Dr. Warren.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think to your point, especially that it's supplemental and can't supplant, but then you also need to be, and while some people think that's a great idea, but you know, can you really take it and do it in a classroom? Mm-hmm. You need some of that, you know, yeah, that could work, or maybe not. You need some of that inside view to be able to, before you go too far much further down the road and say, well, yeah, let's do it this way.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what the grants have always done a really great job in thinking as a parent, as an educator, is there's always been alignment with curriculum and practices. And I think the educators in Franklin have really done a phenomenal job in that. So it might be, some of them might be social and emotional learning at this time, or technology, or gardens, and it's always aligned to practices, programs, and curriculum in ways that makes it interesting for the educator as well as the students and families.
Certainly is a key factor. Did you want to recognize some of the prior members to reemphasize, without so many words, kind of, you know, it takes the village, there's many talents to pull this through. And Pandora, for since you were at the beginning, there may be some key contributions as the org grew and shifted and developed along the way.
I think when we were first getting started, we were trying to make certain that we were inclusive and welcoming and reflective of the community. And so Vicki Coates, Peggy Aniskiewicz, and I reached out to people that we knew. We asked who would be interested, who would like to be a part of this, because it's a different kind of an organization.
Roberta Trahan was a founding board member. She contributed significant community knowledge and understanding. Today, she is the longest serving board member.
Bob Karras. And Bob Karras was a good link to football, the Gridiron Club, the high school alumni. He was very helpful and knowledgeable. Deborah Krober was a parent who was very active in the PCC and later on became an educator and teacher at the JFK Elementary School. Reverend Dadgie Scott from the Federated Church was a link to the Interfaith Council and the different congregations. It was another way of conversing and sharing a message. Eugene Stone was president of Strata Bank. Strata Bank has since been purchased by Middlesex Savings Bank, but reached out to him. And it was a call of introduction as to who we were as a group getting forming. And he helped us to understand the business community and how to reach out to them and who some of the different members of that community were. Scott Nathan helped us with a number of the establishing documents that we needed, very generously doing that legal work and helping us to be able to be a foundation. All of these people brought talents and strength and knowledge and generosity. Mm-hmm. And I think that as the years went on, there were many, many more people that came. People stepped off the board. Life changed. People moved, jobs, all those kinds of things. But I look back to those people who gave so generously of their time and knowledge.
And I'm assuming that if people, as they're listening to this, say, I could help in some way, you still have some sort of a recruiting process or board approval process. And Chloe, you've also got that kind of secondary ambassadors, volunteers for the particular events as they come. So there's always room for help.
There is. I mean, we have a little form on the website if you want to be a volunteer or join the board. We also have our email address. You can just email us if you want to come in. And right now, all of our meetings are on Zoom. We would welcome you to join us on Zoom. Back in the day when we met in person, we used to meet in the town hall. Mm-hmm. And the meetings were open. People could come. And we would welcome that very much so.
It's currently a great board of very committed folks. And I think we have a recent photograph up on our Facebook site too. So you can check it out and know some of the people. And yeah, please join us.
I can include that in the post that includes with the share notes and the link so that people didn't have to keep scrambling for a piece of paper. But what is that website? Well, that'll all be in the show notes. So as we post the podcast, they'll be able to follow along and, oh, there's the photo. Who's, oh, I know who that is.
That's awesome.
It's kind of hard. We're all wearing masks. So, but I think we're getting better at recognizing people even when they're wearing a mask.
Well, and I think this one helped to the extent that at least you were all standing. So, oh yeah, that one's there. This one's here. Sometimes if we're all sitting or on the Zoom, it's just the headshot and the mask and not, who are they?
That is true. But
we another form of trivia B, you know, pick out that person. Who's in that picture?
It actually might be a great idea.
You're right. It could be fun. Could be fun.
The Brady Bunch boxes. Who's in the spot? Even a form of bingo, perhaps, you know, filling in the crosses or whatever.
Yeah.
Or yes.
Fill in the FEF.
Yeah, there you go. 9 box. There you go. FEF.
but anyway, we appreciate anything that any volunteer would want to do for Franklin Education Foundation. And if there's something that you might have seen in another part of the country that works really well, or you've seen happen at another school district that we don't do, please share your ideas with us. We would welcome them. That's how we grow and learn and do more from the new ideas that come in.
Mm-hmm. Leverage the network. Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you, ladies, for taking time today to share this story. They'll get a flavor for FEF if they hadn't already. Maybe they'll have an opportunity to create at least a donation. If not, think about that future legacy donation, whatever the case is, or if they want to just volunteer for an event. And we'll include in the show notes, as we mentioned, the links, the email, et cetera. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Joni.
And Dora.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.